2 weeks ago, I turned 97. As an Ohio farm boy, looking back on my life, I think I've been extremely fortunate. And part of that good fortune has been part of this church for 65 years. I like to look at this church as one that lets new knowledge enrich its Christianity. In fact, I'll take four examples that I'll talk about over our 65-year history. And I like to use the word enlightenment, and I'm borrowing that from history, that we are an enlightened church. We let new knowledge essentially enrich our Christianity. And I'll look at four examples over that 65-year history. First example has to do with women ministers. If you look at the time of Christ, societies were patriarchal, that lifespans were short, women were essentially dedicated to bearing children and raising those children. All the authority, religious leaders, political leaders, and all authority objects were with men. And lifespan maybe was 30 or 40 years. Over time, medicine has improved, sanitation has improved, and lifespan now for women is like 85 years. And with this increase in lifespan, women had the opportunity to learn, and they've demonstrated that they're equally capable of men as religious leaders, political leaders, business leaders. Maybe they wouldn't make it in the NFL, but in almost everything else, they're the equal of men. And our church, as an enlightened congregation, and our denomination, said we should have women ministers. And of course, we now have and have had women ministers. So that's one of the examples of we have enlightened our Christianity. Another example would be with the increase in medical knowledge and how children mature, how people mature, we find that human beings are all remarkably similar. But it's also true that we all have individual differences. No human beings are precisely the same. So, for example, when an individual matures or reaches puberty is different with each other. Who gets a big sprint of growth and who doesn't? When hormones kick in and how they kick in. And that result is our attachments may differ. So, as enlightened Christians, as an enlightened Christian congregation, we have said all people are welcome. And I remember in about the year 2000, we had an annual meeting where we voted to make this congregation open and affirming. And in fact, it has enriched our congregation, and we have a sign out front that announces that. About 1970, this congregation decided to start the Learning Center. And the Learning Center was an effort to reach out to our neighbors, all our neighbors. And Ames, Iowa is a university town. And when our kids were growing up, they toured the whole country and went to Canada and the like. So our neighbors, rather being just a local community or our church, are really the whole world. So in Learning Center, we tried to enhance that spirit. And we did all sorts of things. We had intergenerational activities where we had kids from Sunday school and adults tie blankets for the center that handles battered families. We had people like George Bellizzo, who is a member of our church, talk about how he started Youth and Shelter Services. We had people like those in the Quaker community come in and talk about how their community rituals differed from ours. And in fact, I remember we visited the Hindu temple near Madrid. So we were reaching out to a great variety of neighbors, and those neighbors could stretch all over the world. We were being an enlightened Christian community. Also, another example that I'd like to cite, in about late 80s, we had a prominent minister, temporary minister, who recommended that we try a voluntary Sunday school director and youth director. Well, it turned out it didn't work out. If we were fair about it, it just was maybe a disaster. So we dug into our pockets, and even to the point of sometimes actually having a second fund drive or pledge drive to make sure that we had people in our element, in our kids groups, professional people in our bridge groups, and our youth groups. And I think back to when I was a child, all my aunts and uncles, cousins and so on were nearby and formed a support group, an emotional support group. It was part of the thing that helped people grow up to be secure, emotionally secure enough to admit that they're wrong, reach out with empathy and understanding to other people, all the things that you need for emotional growth in a kid. Now, because families are dispersed, there's a sort of a vacancy in that. And that vacancy is partially filled by our professional people who do the youth group education and the kids education. It's filling in that gap of nurturing that you need to make adults who grow up to be responsible adults and emotionally mature adults. So that's another example where we have moved as enlightened Christians to enrich our Christianity. As a final example, I want to cite one of the, I asked a 9-year-old or a 6-year-old girl here in the congregation once about her brother. I said, "He's a good brother, isn't he?" She looked me in the eye and she says, "He's okay, but he could stand improvement." Well, I hope every child in this congregation and every child in general can essentially feel that they're okay, that this is a place that should help them feel that way. And that's an important attribute. Looking back at life, and that's easy to do at my age, we're all temporary visitors on this earth. And our most fundamental task is actually preparing the next generations to do a better job, have better lives than we had, and make a better world, a less violent world. And in that sense, we're doing as enlightened Christians, we are trying to do our part. May God's grace be with all of you and all people.